Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion for this Tuesday, the 20th of September. Very nice to have you with us. Let me introduce our panel for you, and then we'll get into the topics at hand. We have many, and we will get to all of them, I promise you. We'll see how it goes. All right.
We'll send out checklists.
That's right. We welcome Dr. Alan Chartok. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Joe.
Oh, here. Why don't you talking
about
that thing?
Yeah. Good morning, Joe.
Hey, good morning. Thank you.
It's called a microphone.
I'm Rosemary Armeo is here, director of the journalism program at the University at Albany. Good morning.
Hello.
And Mike Spain, the Times Union associate editor. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Joe.
Very nice to have you here. Thank you very much for being here and for doing this. I really appreciate it. Let's go with what has happened. Of course, yesterday we were talking about the bomb in Manhattan that went off, and at that time, from the time we were on yesterday, a lot has happened. So they were able to identify the person. They started to put a lot of this together, and then ultimately he was arrested in connection with the...
Damn.
Hello.
Hello.
do you want a pair of tickets to the Capitol steps? You can have them for a pledge of $125. It's happening Friday, November 18th. We know that's why you called.
It's not my morning. First, I didn't have the microphone. Secondly, the phone rang.
All right, Friday, November 18th at 7:30. 1-800-348-2551 or go on. Is that right? 1-800...
You forgot the number.
323-9262. I gave the wrong number. In this studio, I gave the wrong number.
Yeah.
1-800-323-9262, and you can also go online at WAMC.org. Okay, so that's why they're calling in, so we'll just take care of that real quick. Now, the guy who police say sowed terror across two states, setting off bombs in Manhattan and on the Jersey Shore, touching off a furious manhunt, was tracked down on Monday morning, sleeping in a doorway of a neighborhood bar, taken into custody after being wounded in a gun battle with officers. The end came on a rain-soaked street in Linden, New Jersey, 4 hours after the police issued an unprecedented cell phone alert to millions of people in the area, telling them to be on the lookout for Ahmad Khan Rahmani, 28 years old, who was described as armed and dangerous. I did think the cell phone alert part of the story was really interesting as well.
Friends in New York were saying yesterday, hey, I have this thing on my phone that's never, ever been anything, just kind of tests, and today it's real. It's not an Amber Alert either.
Right. So just 4 hours after, very swiftly, they were able to arrest him and, of course, ease tensions across the region. And then ongoing, of course, goes into the investigation as to why and how and who else may be involved, if anyone, and are there connections? Are there not connections?
Well, it's really great that they were able to take him into custody, and he'll recover evidently from these injuries and perhaps can better answer than had he been shot and killed by police. You know, it may lead to answering that question that's so difficult when these things happen. What support, if any, he got, and what were the motivations? Yeah.
Is he like the most inept assassin since maybe Lee Harvey Oswald?
Well, you think of the guy from Connecticut who had the bomb down in Times Square and that thing didn't go off. I mean, there are probably...
This guy had multiple bombs, if we're to believe that it's all
couple
one
person. Went off. Yeah.
Most did not. And then instead of running away, he slouched down in the door frame of a bar,
right? Yeah.
Where the owner, who is my favorite character in the whole drama, says, yeah, I looked at him, and I knew him from CNN.
Oh.
And he's caught. I mean, why wasn't he on, I don't know, a bus to Chicago or something to get away? Is that not the point?
You know, I don't know the time frame. Do you know this? Was the bomb that they found in the bus station, was that placed after the bombs that were placed in New York?
There was some speculation he was just throwing them away to get rid of evidence, and
I
he had planned to place them. But that was only speculation yesterday. So, yeah.
I'm sorry, I was going to add one more thing. Did you see the story? It was on Rachel Maddow had it. There was a young man who was running. He was exercising in Central Park back in July, and he stepped on what looked like a bag of components. And now they're actually even investigating that. That's never been solved. It may have been like this guy practicing or somebody in his cell, if that's what.
But after
that
Central Park jogger was injured seriously. From stepping
lost
on
a
that.
Leg, yeah,
right,
a foot.
Part of his foot. Yeah, they said they put out some odd statement saying that it was not related in any way to a terrorist incident. In other words, like they had known that some kid was playing with explosives.
They
or
did
something.
That back in July, but apparently that's now opened again. I don't know. Very
well. They also did it at the beginning of this, where they were saying that it wasn't a part of a coordinated attack. And,
why would they say that?
Well, now, I'm fascinated by the presidential reaction to this, particularly
Obama's reaction or candidates.
No, I'm Trump's, because Trump said that the Israelis really know how to profile. Basically, we should be profiling. And that gets us right back into what we really don't want to do if we don't have to, which is to start saying people who wear, you know, particular articles of clothing or others should be questioned, and that's how it happens. Well, the Israelis do it. We know that they do it, and with some rationale, and they have really kept their problems, terrorism problems, down. But is this country ready for that?
I just want to, let me quickly, Rosemary, just give both sides here. Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton warned Monday that anti-Muslim rhetoric by opponent Donald Trump is giving aid and comfort to the Islamic State, as both candidates sought to position themselves as better qualified to combat terrorism in the aftermath of the violent acts over the weekend. We know that a lot of rhetoric that we've heard from Donald Trump has been seized on by terrorists, including ISIS, because they're looking to make this a war against Islam. Meanwhile, we have to lead for a change. We're not knocking them, Trump told Fox News Channel. We're hitting them once in a while. We're hitting them in certain places. We're being very gentle about it. We're going to have to be very tough. And this, of course, comes just 1 week before the first debate.
Well, sir, clearly the Clinton people know that this is real trouble for them. And they are. I'm sure the war room is working overtime and burning the midnight oil, trying to figure out what you say. And what you say is that Trump is the guy who's really helping them, and not the other way around. You don't start talking particulars. You just say it. Whether it's going to help or not, I think Trump gets helped by all of this. I do.
I think the surveys all favor him more after there's been violence or threats or fear. Fear is a great motivator. When people are afraid, they want to turn to the guy or the person who says, we're going to get tough. Not a lot of particulars about how we're going to get tough. Just, we're going to get tough. We've been gentle. We're going to get tough.
But the real danger in this is that he is distorting what's needed and even what Israel does. Israel does not profile the way he would. Like, if you're Muslim, no matter where you are, what country you came from originally, how long you've been in the States, you are a suspect. That's not what Israel does. Israel does behavioral profile, which, for example, I heard you speak about this morning, Alan, that if you're an adult of a certain age and you are visiting Pakistan for a certain amount of time, especially if you're going to certain areas of that country, maybe a second look is required. That's smart profiling. It has nothing to do with national origin. And the other thing is that Hillary has facts. She has reality on her side, and no one seems to be interested in that. In this country right now, you are more in danger of being struck by lightning or killed by an armed toddler than you are to be killed by a terrorist. That is the fact. But no one wants to hear that. It's like sharks.
Well, the point you make is that nobody wants to hear it.
They don't want to hear it, right?
But Rosemary, that is profound, because if nobody wants to hear it and we're about to have an election,
right,
that's the issue.
It's the danger. I can see us giving up civil liberties in a Trump administration out of total fear, which is completely unjustified.
Well, we did it after 9/11 with Patriot Act.
I mean,
we cashed in a lot of the Constitution, and we're just pulling it back, and now we're on the verge of possibly going back that direction.
But if somebody of a 20-something person, takes off for Afghanistan. And we know that that profile group, as you have just quite correctly said, Rosemary, is the person who's likely to do this thing. That's when the FBI really has to get going.
Behavioral profiling makes a lot of sense, and there are things that you could look at. I think trips to Saudi Arabia, people who vacation in Saudi Arabia and Pakistan, I want to take a look at them. You know, there's real reasons to do it, but he had no family there even. That's kind of a sign. Looking for arms. And
so
weapons.
Donald Trump says, I'm saying you're going to profile, and you're going to profile people that maybe look suspicious.
Yeah, see, that's the scary thing. What does that mean?
Right. But, I mean, it would fall
Alan
also.
Alan looks suspicious.
I do.
You know, he wears black all the time.
I do. And after 9/11, I got on the plane from London. I mean, we were in Italy. We went to London. We came back. The pilot of the plane came down the row and stared at everybody who was on that plane. I can't blame him. I mean, we didn't know anything at that point.
Well, in the days of after 9/11, I think everybody was acting, you know. You didn't know what to make of it, but certainly, as you look at this, what I was saying was, when you say look suspicious, I mean, that fits into what you were saying a moment ago. If they're vacationing in Saudi Arabia, then it is behavioral. Okay, it's that. But right. But what if it's much more vague than that? You look a little funny. Really? And of course, it's going to be skin color, clothes.
No matter what,
something called
facial hair,
demeanor.
Yes,
and age,
maybe even age.
Yes,
but I mean, applying for a gun, buying certain chemicals, which we know are used in bomb making.
That gets triggered now. I mean, if people bought the kinds of fertilizer that Timothy McVeigh bought, it sets off an alarm.
And that is profiling, and I have no problem with that.
That's Tim McVeigh, the well-known Muslim.
The Irish Catholic kid from Buffalo, New York.
Over and over again.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll get a couple letters, and then we'll go to the news break at the bottom of the hour. We'll be right back after this.
Support for WAMC comes from H. House & Son True Value Hardware and Just Ask Rentals Woodstock, offering canning supplies for preserving the bounty of the season. Behind every project is a true value. HHoused.com. Preservation League of New York State, offering EPIP, a revolving loan program to acquire, stabilize, and restore historic buildings in New York, so our past has a future. Stories Nursery, Freehold, New York, featuring a variety of mums, shrubs, and trees for fall planting and bulbs for spring, open Monday through Saturday, 8 to 5, and Sundays, 9 to 4. A gardener's destination, storiesnursery.com. And Public Market at 8 Main Street, West Stockbridge, Massachusetts. Serving lunch specials, sandwiches, salads, beer, and wine. Public Market on Facebook.
Back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. We are talking about the arrest. We're talking about the bombings. We're talking about the presidential candidates and their response to what happened yesterday and over the weekend. And we have a lot of letters as well.
All right. Here's a good one. Alan Chartok, I saw you debate between John Faso and Zephyr Teachout. Shame on you, Mr. Chartok, for wearing a cap on the podium. Call me old-fashioned, but good manners should not be ignored. My late husband, who served in the Marine Corps for 2 years in Korea, would have approached you and requested you to remove your cap. Mr. Chartok, you have a grandson. I hope you don't continue to set bad examples for him. If you read this on air, you will probably berate the sender.
Are there any other letters?
That's a good way to stop berating the sender. That was really brilliant.
Yeah.
People will only hear what they want to hear. Good morning, panel. With all the misinformation that Donald Trump spews, it has only proved to me that people only want to listen to what you want to hear. I cannot believe the lies that are floating in this man's presidential candidacy, and that's from Anthony. And Barbara says, polls average show that Hillary leads on terrorism by a small amount. All right.
That is in the polls, but of course taken before this past incident.
Right,
although
the polls that came out.
Although there are, of course, many similar incidents, unfortunately, to compare to.
Sean says, it is sad that you and Clinton supporters say that Trump is inspiring terrorism. The continuous wars of aggression in the Middle East, the overthrow of Gaddafi, the continued U.S. and NATO attacks to rid of Assad-inspired young jihadists. And that's from Sean.
We don't say he inspires it. We say that he is very much helping ISIS call. He is living proof of what ISIS maintains, that the West is out to hate and kill all Muslims. He's proof of that. So in a way, indirectly, I guess he inspires it. But I don't think I ever said he's calling for terrorism or anything like that.
Well, I think that the reference is to Hillary, because Hillary is saying he is causing it.
She's quoting intelligence people who have said that his remarks are used in some of the literature that they use to recruit
stir up people.
Right. And you know, it's... Yeah, right. It's rhetoric.
Good morning, panel, says Douglas, or as Ray would say, good morning. Behavior like learning how to fly a commercial plane, but not how to land it?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah,
that would qualify.
Raise, right, that should raise.
Yeah, those are things that should be of concern.
So Michael, who writes frequently, says whites of his eyes. Do you think Hillary is holding her fire until she can see the whites of his eyes? The debate? Any president has no power to take away our civil liberties, Alan. You're giving the office too much power.
Boy, I don't know. The president has an awful lot of sway over both the electorate and the legislature, and that did happen with the Patriot Act.
We're going to take a break. We come back, we'll go to more letters. We'll talk more about this and other issues as well. We welcome your comments. Roundtable@WAMC.org. Alan, Rosemary, and Mike are all here. We'll be back after the short break. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. And it's very nice to have you with us. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Mike Spain. Make up the group this morning. Excuse me. Apologize. We do have a lot of letters. We'll get to those in just a second. And we've been talking about, of course, the bombing and the arrest and the candidate's response to that. And in a minute, we want to talk about the Chris Christie and what he knew of the bridge closings. We want to get to that story, but we'll wrap up on some of these letters. Do it on those. Whoa. And then we'll get to some other stuff.
Well, Jamie says, too much time on our hands. It's amazing. With all the problems and horrors we face in the world today, how much time can we waste on whose hat is on or off, singing or standing, or having their hand on their heart or not? If you want to be angry, please find something worth that emotion. There is plenty to go around.
How about Syrian and or Russian planes bombing UN relief to the people of Aleppo? Is that not reprehensible?
Right.
Nearly half of 31 convoys were trucks in a convoy were destroyed, and the truce is basically over. I find that pretty distressing.
Yep.
That's tragic news.
After taking how long to come up with this ceasefire? It didn't even last 2 weeks.
It was exacerbated over the weekend when the U.S. apparently accidentally bombed and killed 60 Syrian soldiers. They weren't supposed to do that as part of this agreement. And that may or may not have played into the later accident that happened when the UN relief trucks were bombed. It's pretty tragic and pretty sad.
Yep.
Well, Lisa says, we are already profiling people who look suspicious. Now we have a public execution of an unarmed American citizen, a 40-year-old African-American, simply because his car broke down on an Oklahoma road.
Yeah.
You know? Police arrived with guns drawn as the victim slowly walks away, his arms raised. He's shot in cold blood by the police. The police offered no help and watched him die. Our country and our civilization has lost its way. We need Jill Stein and her peace initiative. And by the way, we had a letter. I can't vouch for it, but she was supposed to come to Albany,
she
and
canceled.
It said
she was speaking at UAlbany, and she canceled.
Yeah, right. That she had a post, something problem.
A post something problem?
Yeah, you know, like
I thought it was an asthma or
asthma attack. Yeah.
Health issue, huh?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. Well.
Well, there's also a story out of Connecticut today that police officers unwittingly recorded themselves as they were discussing how to get at a protester that they were that they wanted to get into trouble. It's some guy who holds up signs at drunk stop saying "Police ahead, don't stop," and so they wanted to get him in, and they secretly record themselves
plotting
figuring
their
out,
way of catching
yes,
him
plotting how they him. Can entrap him. It's horrible.
Bob says, no Hillary comment needed. You only go on about Trump comments regarding bombing. Hillary made much more mature comments about the issue. You're wrong not to balance things here. And that's from Bob. Bob, is it possible you weren't listening to the show this morning? Because I think you weren't. Thank you very much.
We talked about it. I think the point that was made though will they resonate as much as
she's got truth and adulthood and stability on her side, and that's
maturity.
Not as interesting maturity, and that's just not exciting as Trump's
as
you know,
go get him.
His when I had it right and you were wrong.
The
and this
use
is
of
that,
the word
blah, blah.
Gentle in the way that the U.S. has responded to this. It's what a limited
terrible.
Vocabulary.
Terrible.
PK writes, a scary thought. What if these guys are pawns? What if these guys, including the brothers in Boston, were small potatoes, planted the bombs, were meant to be caught, puppets by master puppeteers far higher on the food chain? And Paul says, does ISIS want Trump elected? Yes! And they are trying to recruit in countries for homegrown terrorism. Would these activities be leading to an October surprise that could influence votes for Trump and play right into their hands to influence their ability to recruit? Okay.
I can't believe this election is going to have an October surprise. Like weekly surprises. I don't know what more could
it'll
be a surprise.
It'll become more frequent. It'll be it'll be every
bi-weekly?
Other day.
Yeah, or hourly. Well, I don't know. How can we have more of a surprise than what we've already got? Yeah.
Okay,
and people are immune to that. They get a certain immunity.
Right.
Numbness.
Mary Margaret says, Mary Margaret says, but can there be bail, capital B-A-I-L, capital, set for A.K. Ramani? Rami?
$5.5 million. Yeah. That was odd. I mean, why would they give him bail at all? But
And that's what it says here. Well, that's what Mary Margaret says. What if he comes up with the $5.2 million? Then they'll change.
They'll go up.
They'll add a charge, and then he probably will not be.
Ooh, let's charge him with something else.
Plus, then you'd see who bailed him out. That might be part of their strategy.
That would be.
Rosemary, you are more likely to get, said the phone number, you're more likely to get hit by a bus in this country than be struck by lightning. So don't worry about strolling through a field in a thunderstorm. I always worry about that, and I think that's the point, right?
I don't like strolling outside at all when it's raining, so no problem.
Talking a lot, you know, who all the time legitimates him. Please, no more talk about him.
Well, that's ridiculous.
It's absurd. Jill Stein not coming to Albany. We already heard about that. Hillary R.R. says, Richard, I'd like to see Hillary hire someone to write some spicy, in quotes, content for her so each day she can make a statement that gets her into the headlines along with Trump, who's always in the headlines daily. Alternatively, she can just read the New York Daily News each day and use some of their provocative ideas.
She can't pull it off.
Like Marco Rubio. It doesn't, he can pull it off. She wouldn't be able to.
You can't lower yourself and engage that way. You have to be above it. And I think she has tried to be above it. And when she did vary from that, it really backfired on her when she used her basket of deplorables comments.
Well, I'm not so sure it backfired on her, but...
Well,
T.S. takes you to task, Rosemary, and in reality,
did I wear a hat someplace?
In reality, he visited a
during
number
a
of relatives.
Of
he visited a number of relatives in both countries, got married there, and on several trips visited his wife. Finally, it has now come out that his wife was in the country and left the U.S. several days before the bombing. Facts are more important than commentary and banter, says appropriately named
T.S. Well, they don't listen, because this is all commentary and banter. But the fact is, when you check somebody, yes, you're going to get people who are there for legitimate reasons. I didn't say arrest and hold, you know, every person who went to Pakistan or Saudi Arabia, but it is an unusual behavior, and it bears looking into.
Please don't incorrectly say that the bombings benefit Trump. It only confirms the spell that the press as a whole is under when it comes to covering this election. To which I say to Pete, wrong. What I was going to say is 1-800.
That's all right. You can say that because we have.
Yeah, we'll what's happening?
Oh, so, well, you know, it's a political season, obviously. So the Capitol Steps, the foremost satirical troop of former congressional people, right?
Well, some of them were. Now they're getting more.
Yeah, it's a little more.
Yes. A little more talent.
Well, yes, pros in it. But that's how it started. And so one of their first, if not the first, gig that they're going to be doing post-election, post-election day, is for us at the Egg. And we have tickets. We only have 500 pairs, although that number has already decreased because we've been doing this for a couple of hours. And so you can get a pair of tickets, $125. All the money goes into the lockbox.
That's
correct. You've got a fun drive coming up here in a month or so.
Yeah.
And so you get two seats to the November 18th, 7:30 p.m. show, plus a CD recording of it. And Alan, you'll be in the show.
That's what they tell me.
Yes.
Wearing a hat, I wonder?
Probably.
I would hope.
I never take
that. You'll have fresh material from just a week earlier.
That's right.
I sleep in this hat. This hat is part of my identity.
How rude.
So it is all good stuff, and you can call 1-800-348-2551 or go online. It's right in the pull-down menu, and it's at WAMC.org.
And by the way, let me point out, Joe, as you correctly say, that this has always been a sold-out event. Always.
Yes.
And it's one of those reunions when we all get together.
It's really fun. It's a great night. It's a Friday night. It's before the weather will get bad. It's November 18th. What could happen? It's 7:30 at night, and it's just a lot of fun. And you're right. It's a very fun atmosphere. We'll fill the places we've done for, I think this is our third show, and they've been very, very nice to us, and we're really excited because they said, oh, we can do this right after the election. We said, okay, sign us up. So 1-800-348-2551 or WAMC.org, and again, we only have a limited number of pairs of tickets, and so when they're gone, they're gone. So that's it.
When they're gone, they're gone.
When they're gone, they're gone.
They're going out the window.
And all the money goes into the lockbox. That's really important, and that's important because we want to keep doing the election coverage that we're doing and playing all of the stuff. So we're trying to obviously take off as many days of the fund drive as we possibly can so we can get you back to your regular coverage.
That's right. And remember that the fund drive is really right before the election.
2 weeks. Starts October 17th this year. So it is.
You'll want to get that over quick.
Guess what the theme
is? There's a lot of news to
read. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of news, right, and we got our final debate and all that stuff. So we got to get to all that. WAMC.org. That's what you want to go to get your pair of tickets to Capitol Steps, $125. They're already going quickly, so do it right now. WAMC.org. We will be back and talk more about other cool stuff right after this.
Support for WAMC comes from Evoke Style in Stuyvesant Plaza, offering curated women's fashions from designers such as Marc Ariel, Michael Stars, and Alan Bika of Tel Aviv. EvokeStyle.com. The Turning Stone Resort, offering accommodations, dining, spa treatments, golf courses, and a variety of live entertainment. TurningStone.com. The Whistling Kettle, featuring iced tea for summer hydration and a selection of over 150 premium teas, including specialty iced tea makers, Troy and Boston Spa, thewhistlingkettle.com. And Joyelle's Jewelers, Delmar, celebrating 26 years, specializing in custom jewelry and repair, remounts, silver jewelry, engagement and wedding rings, and more. Joyelle'sJewelers.com.
Thank you.
Prosecutors on Monday said New Jersey Governor Chris Christie was told about a politically motivated scheme that shut down the nation's busiest bridge as it was happening, the first time officials have alleged in court that Christie knew about the plot as it was going on.
Ongoing.
The assertion came during the Bridgegate trial of two of Christie's former aides, whom prosecutors accused of hatching a plan to create a mammoth traffic jam on the George Washington Bridge to retaliate against the Fort Lee mayor for not supporting Christie's reelection bid. This happened during opening statements Monday in Newark. Federal prosecutors said one of the former aides, the former deputy executive director of the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, and a third Christie associate, a former Port Authority executive, informed the governor about the traffic shutdowns during a September 11th memorial service in 2013. During the statement, the assistant U.S. attorney said the evidence will show that they bragged about the fact that they were that there were traffic problems in Fort Lee and that the mayor was not getting his calls returned.
Well, I think Alan asked the question earlier today on a program, which if they know this, if they have proof of this, they can say it in court. Why is there not a charge against Christie?
But they're only asserting that he was told during it, while it was going on.
So and then not Christie that he later, helped patch it.
And that later patch Christie said, I didn't find out till weeks later. That was a lie, but that might not be indictable. He didn't. Nobody has made the assertion.
He didn't stop it.
Which meant if it was ongoing,
he helped it.
All I'm trying to be is legalistic. If it wasn't already over, this would put an end to his political career.
I'm prosecuting him.
Well, it may have put an end to his political career because he was certainly on that vice presidential list.
Right.
And I suspect they saw the trial coming. They knew what was going to happen. Even the Trump people said, we really can't do this.
But Rosemary said earlier before we were on the air that if this had never happened, Christie might have been, the guy to take on Trump during the primary who might have been most successful because he has a lot of the same characteristics
plus experience
in government.
Heft, and I mean that in more ways than body image. And he has that same style of Trump. Marco Rubio, we talked about this, could not pull it off. Hillary Clinton could not really insult and stand up. But, Chris Christie could. Do you remember the takedown in the debate of Marco Rubio?
Yeah.
That was brutal.
Yeah.
And so he might have done it.
Might have, right. But just the way that it is, my issue with Christie is that he was the head of that government.
Yeah.
All these people worked for him.
Absolutely. The culture that he established was what produced this.
And, somebody who works for you says they're going to rob a bank and you don't say anything about it.
But there's not
a criminal charge for that, though.
Right. It's
aiding and abetting.
Well, how about this? How about, hey, one of your guys is now currently robbing a bank and you don't pick up the phone and call the cops.
Yeah.
There you go. Yes,
that is. That would be his legal defense.
Would it be as big? So you have, they're not returning his calls.
Right.
They're not returning the mayor's calls from Fort Lee. They're not returning his calls. So that in of itself, for the governor's office not to be returning the calls of a mayor of a major.
That's outrageous, egregious, but it may not constitute a crime.
Criminal charge.
But again, to the traffic jam. I mean, I understand again the legal principle here, but also just the fact to put all of those people into that situation for that many hours, is really stunning. I mean,
it's more than stunning, Joe. It is stupid. And that's what really gets me about this whole thing. It's just stupid, stupid, stupid. You know what? If the lady is in the car and she's going to have a baby, and I believe there was somebody in that situation, or somebody's in an ambulance and has to get to the other side, what could you have been thinking?
Really?
Well, not to mention people who just have to get to work and go from point A to point B, and the fact that stop and start traffic is dangerous, and I don't know, there's just a million things there that's just bad.
If people weren't already cynical, this would make even the biggest optimist cynical.
It is so unbelievable to me that people can make mistakes. Now, the Port Authority of New York has two bosses. They are
New York and New Jersey,
mm-hmm. Right. And I do know that Governor Cuomo was very specific about staying out of this because this was a New Jersey.
Well, he's been dragged into it. I mean, it came up in opening testimony, I believe, or at least in the openings, that he was very, very upset, and steaming about all this.
In private.
In private, right. And then would not speak publicly about it.
I don't know. This is the sort of thing that if those aides, and even if the governor had written emails about, wow, you know, it'd be nice to get back and we could do this in kind of a speculative way, the way that, for example, Democratic National Committee people talked about getting Bernie by bringing up his atheism or his Jewish heritage. That would be one thing. That's kind of snark. I could forgive that, but to actually do it.
Well, I couldn't forgive.
That's unbelievable.
I couldn't forgive it, but then what killed the cat? What killed the cat every time in these political things is always arrogance.
Arrogance and pettiness.
Hubris.
But the arrogance, Mike, is that you think somehow it's okay and you can get away with it. That's just arrogance.
I mean, this is going to become part of political science for textbook political science for years. I mean, it's an example of arrogance. You're right, Alan. That's the term. That's a political scientist.
Okay. So you look at what happens in municipalities, you look at what happens in state government, and you think, my God, you know, how much power do these people have? So, Mike, I go to you now. A police officer, a groundhog. What happens?
Oh, my gosh.
Well, that's another story of arrogance. We've been following closely this case involving two police officers from the city of Rensselaer, which
Here comes the Pulitzer.
And back in July, they were off duty on an outing with the Police Benevolent Association at the Freer Park Golf Course in Troy. A couple of the officers were in a golf cart, and they chased down a groundhog, and the groundhog was exhausted. They drove over it, and the animal was killed.
Multiple times, didn't they drive over
it? They drove
over it, multiple times.
Right. According to the reports. In any event, it's not a crime to kill a groundhog in New York State because it's a pest, basically. But there is a law in the city of Troy, an ordinance that says you can't kill any animals in city parks, including golf courses.
Oh, really?
So the whole case was discussed by the city police in Troy and by the district attorney in Rensselaer County, and they decided not to levy charges. And the State Department of Environmental Conservation was
30 days.
Right.
30
however,
days without pay.
However, the mayor of Rensselaer, Dan Dwyer, who's head of the Public Safety Committee, suspended the police officers with pay, and they've had a hearing, and now they've decided to suspend them for 30 days without pay and punish them. And that's unusual that we know about this, because ordinarily in New York, because of a section of the public service law called 50A, it blocks the media and others from getting details about police discipline inside a police department. But the mayor made it all public and made these two officers accountable. And it's...
Say the name of that mayor again. He deserves
Dan
credit.
Dan Dwyer?
Yes. He deserves credit. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yes, running over a woodchuck, we can all, you know, snicker and stuff. But
right.
That was an act of cruelty. And as we know, cruelty towards animal frequently is a sign of underlying problems that leads to harm against people. I don't want cops who run over woodchucks. It's not funny.
I'm sorry. I'm going to spill it now. I have a woodchuck. The woodchuck lives under our porch, the lattice porch, and I have been for days trying to confine him to a have a heart trap.
That's
but,
good.
But the idea is have a heart. You have a heart.
Yeah.
And well, he is a pest, and you're going to relocate him, I suspect.
That is correct.
Are you going to bring him to New York State and let him go?
Bring him to Freer Park. They need woodchucks.
You've got to replace the one that got run over.
I don't want to get into that because there are certain problems with the whole thing. You're looking at me quizzically. You're allowed to kill him. You're not allowed to move him.
What?
That's
Who
correct.
Allows that?
That's right. That's the law. You're allowed to kill him.
Well, if
you can take a gun and you can kill them, you are not allowed to take
to relocate them.
To relocate them.
Let them go in the water. You can't like go to some woods and let them go.
That's right.
Technically.
That's right.
Okay.
I bet if you did it, you could talk the cop out of arrest.
Well, wait a second now. Not if you're writing regular columns about
your woodchucks.
About cops.
Oh, cops.
What will the charge be? Transporting
illegal
redemption.
Wire. Wildlife.
In jail for 50 years.
It sounds like
an Arlo Guthrie song.
Who goes to jail for throwing away garbage.
We name our woodchucks. We have a whole family that lives under the shed.
Absolutely.
We name them.
Well, they can get after your foundation, you know.
Oh, no. They do. They come in the back, but it's fascinating to watch. Yeah, I don't know.
And they have quite a little look on their faces.
They do.
They are very, those woodchucks are very interesting. Now, a neighbor I know... caught a.
We're gonna get yelled at for talking about.
Okay, folks. Do you want to hear about this, or do you want to hear about Trump and Hillary?
Well, they said we shouldn't spend so much time on Trump. So this is this is what you get instead.
Well, Caddyshack jokes, right?
So
the guy got a skunk. So he was telling me the other day, he gets the skunk, but he leaves the skunk for too long. The skunk gets dehydrated. He lets the skunk out of the have a heart trap, and he gives a saucepan of water to the skunk, who laps it up.
Well, that's a lovely story.
That's all I know.
And then the skunk goes back to being a skunk in the skunk wild.
I'm trying not to get sucked into this, but my sister and I have been tracking feral cats from the neighborhood. Trying to find them homes.
Tell
and
us
keep
about
them
Stephen.
Out. But we caught it. Yeah. Oh, no, I'm not going to tell you about
Stephen.
Okay,
all right. All right.
I saved an elderly toothless cat from almost certain death at the Humane Society.
I think that says a lot.
I know. My mother is like, when I left, Stephen was sitting on top of the table meowing with my mother. So
your mother doesn't meow, does she? You said
she
meowing with my mother.
Yeah, she was meowing back at him.
She
was, you know, talking baby talk. It's ridiculous.
Okay.
I'm sorry to bring that up. Please don't write me letters. I can talk about Syria too. Yeah. I know Syria is more important.
All right, we're out of time, and we thank you very much for joining us and for being a part of our conversation in all its forms. We welcome you roundtable at wamc.org. Although a quick look at the mail is we actually are getting more mail in the woodchuck than we were.
I knew we would.
So, just for the record, thank you very much. We'll be back after this.